Okay. Positions. So we started talking about this last week, so let's pick up on it. And there are two related questions, and this may take us the week. I don't know. So Bishalach brings us to the culmination of this story that began in Shemot. The Jews leave, and then Paro changes his mind and chases them, and Yam Suf happens, and the rest is history. And there are two interrelated questions that you have to ask. One is that the framing for the entire story was, at least as proposed by Moshe to Paro, is please let us go for a 3-day journey.
That's a lie.
Well, that's the question. Is it a lie? What does it mean? So there are different possibilities. One is that this was a bold-faced lie from the beginning. And Moshe and the Jews knew it. Now let's just run through the possibilities, right? And then maybe we'll explore them. So one is it's a bold-faced lie. The Jews always knew it. Moshe always knew it. And then you got to figure out, then why are we running this on a lie, right? That's the question you'd have to ask. Opposite extreme is it's not a lie. Even now, it's not a lie. Right? They only went for 3 days. 3 days doesn't necessarily mean 3 days. Maybe it means 3 days in each direction, right? Because it's a 7-day, which is about a 7-day journey. 3 days to go, 1 day to be there, 3 days back, right? Now this is, right, Rashi alludes to this, right? Because Rashi says that when did Paro decide to chase them? On day seven, because he thought it meant three, then three back. And once day seven came, he said, oh, they're not coming back.
Right.
Right, but Rashi already alludes to the possibility.
And then it makes kind of sense, also Sagar Leah Mamidbar, right? They just got lost coming back.
Or something like that. Right. And now, so Rashi already opens the possibility. Now, this is not how he takes it. But maybe this really was the plan, and it only changed once Paro chased them, and that changed the story, right? That's the opposite extreme.
So they didn't then you have, like, or not decide, like Hashem did like take them really until the Mizraim were chasing them.
Correct, right? That would be the opposite extreme. I'm not putting my name behind anything yet, but I'm saying that would be the opposite extreme. In the middle, you would have things like the original plan was 3 days, but after Makat Becharot, Paro understood what was happening and said, just get out of here. And things had changed somewhere in the process. Right? Meaning, the plan had been 3 days, but since Paro was so
stubborn,
that by the end, Hashem beat him over that until Paro just said, get out of here. Or you could say, no, the plan really was 3 days. And Moshe knew that, and Moshe was really lying, or God was lying to Paro. But the Jews didn't know, so maybe the Jews weren't involved in the deception. Right? These are all possibilities. Now this relates to a second question, which is, when the Jews come and ask for the property of the Egyptians, which the simplest shot is, they borrowed it, Vaish Alu, what is going on there? So if you think that really they only meant to go for 3 days, this really is a loan, and it's totally honest, just once they chased them, and then they killed them, it transformed into spoils or something like that, because something unexpected happened. Or do you think that the Jews thought it was a 3-day journey, so they legitimately borrowed it, and God wanted to deceive the Egyptians, and they got to figure out why God wanted to deceive the Egyptians, but didn't want the Jews in on it. Right? It's possible.
That one seems like an easy one.
Oh, fine, but I'm just going through the possibilities. And what questions do you have to ask? We can answer each of these. I'm outlining the possibilities. The Jews might have known, in which case they were involved in the deception. Why is that? Or you can do what some of Farshim say, which is, say, Vayesh Ilu doesn't mean borrowed. It means to give as a present. And everybody knew what was going on, and you just misunderstood the word. So these two questions are very, 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 very interconnected, and they are critical to understanding what happens when we get to this moment of Kriyas Yam Suf, at which point it is clear nobody's going back, right? That is the moment at which we know. We know what's happening. The last thing I'll point out, this maybe we mentioned last year, is that this all assumes that the 3-day journey, if it existed, was Kriyas Yam Suf. But at the latter half of Bishalach, you get another possibility which complicates the story, which is after 3 days, they run out of water and they get to Marah, and then they praise God after he gives them water. So there's actually 3 days and an act of thanking God. So it's also possible that that is what the 3-day thing means, because that's into the midbar, right? Meaning they've gone to the midbar, but that's really where it's midbar. It's possible this whole thing is a misunderstanding that they haven't even started until later, which would complicate this thing entirely. Okay, so that's just outlining the problems.
Right.
They go to the edge, and then they go for 3 days and run out of water.
But that means that they'd already started. Like, okay, so on Paro's clock, Paro's clock, they leave, he's like, go. On their clock...
But maybe it's not like, about that, right? He never said...
It's weird. They get to Eitam, they get to...
Okay, these are all possibilities. Okay, so...
That's when they started.
So which part of this do we want to start with again? Well, it'll take us a few days here to get through all the possibilities, but at least we've outlined them.
Extremes?
Yeah, let's start with the extremes, okay? One possibility, extreme is, look... Maybe the original plan was 3 days, but by the time you get to the end, everybody knows what's going on. This is completely above board. Paro has changed his mind. He's sending them out completely. The Jews know this. Moshe knows this. The Egyptians know it. And that's it. And therefore, when the Jews take the property, it's not alone. And the move you need to make two moves to get here exegetically. One is to claim that while originally the request was 3 days, by time Makkah Bechorot came, the plan had changed, either because God had changed it because of Paro's stubbornness, or Paro had changed it because he just gave up, or whatever happened. And the other linguistic move you have to make is that the word, that the Shoresh Shin Aleph Lamed doesn't necessarily mean loan, it could mean to give. Now, this shot, you have two Mefarshim who take this position, one very, very early, and one very, very late. Josephus takes this position, which is really, really early, right? What?
I was going to say, the question is, how much do we give? I'm assuming this was in Antiquities of the Jews?
Yeah. So Josephus says as follows, right? He says, that after Paro was persuaded to let the Hebrews go, accordingly called for Moses and bid them be gone. As supposing that if once the Hebrews were gone out of the country, Egypt should be freed from its miseries. Meaning, he was sick and tired, he said, get out of here. They also honored the Hebrew with gifts. Some in order them to get them to depart quickly, and others account of their neighborhood and the friendship they had with them. So Josephus says, look, by the end, Paro said, get out. I'm sick of this. You are the source of my torture. Get out. Completely above board. Right? And what are the gifts? He said, two possibilities. Right now, it sounds like he means both. Some Egyptians hated them and said, take this and get out quickly. Right? Like, I know you're tarrying. Just please, take as much money as you want. Get out of here. I don't want to see you. I don't want anything to do with you. He said other people were friends with them. Is that possible? Yeah, I guess it's possible that there were some Egyptians who were friends with the Jews. So that's actually Josephus, right? So this is really, really early. Rav Hirsch, which is very, very late, says the same thing. And adduces several biblical proofs to the fact that the law shown of Shin Aleph Lamed doesn't necessarily have to mean to borrow. It can mean to give. He says this in three places, but including on this pasuk, and he says she came achash and say shall yishilim huma mitzvah mishamish kino say veinatzaslu etc. And he says, right, it just means, right, it's a gift, right, it's a gift. Now he goes a little bit more midrashically, right, and he says according to the midrash, the Jews had the opportunity to steal the stuff during Choshech and didn't. The Egyptians were so inspired, so they gave them presents. Whatever the case may be. Now there's another besides for. Now what motivates such a read, right? Why would someone come up with such a read?
Because you don't want the Jews to be lying.
Yeah, right. Because you're opposed to the notion of the Jews lying, and specifically, remember the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that weird Gemara in Tadi Aleph, that the Egyptians hundreds of years later come to the Jews with a taina and say, you owe us money?
Sanhedrin, Tadi Aleph?
Yeah.
Because I mentioned this Gemara to a watchman last week and he asked me what it was.
No. Yeah, so the Gemara actually says this. Right, the Gemara actually says that there was some claim eventually that you owe us money because you stole it. So You want to, right? So there's clearly an ethical problem with assuming that it was a lie, yeah. And therefore this solves the whole thing. It's all above board. It's all fine. It's all honest, and the like. Now it turns out that this isn't just in the Gemara. This is apparently something that appears in. This is actually something that like anti-Jewish Greeks and Romans were saying, and Josephus quotes it as well, in against Appian. Let's see if I can get the quote. Like what?
I just heard about this book.
I've quoted it to you before. I don't expect you to remember. Torah, I think you... There is a chiyuv to know Torah. There's no chiyuv to be a baki in Josephus. So I forgive you. What? And then here it is. So it's... he quotes Manetho, I don't know how to pronounce that. He proposed to interpret the Egyptian history out of the sacred writing and premise that our people had come into Egypt many thousands of numbers, subdued its inhabitants, da da da. This is a very long piece. It's a very long piece, but that's where it is. So this is part of responding to that moral claim. So again, one extreme, like I said, is that there is everything's above board, everyone knows what's going on, and they really gave them gifts. Now there are variations, and I'll do that very quickly. Again, now within gifts, you can say it was to get them to leave faster, it was because maybe they were actually friends. Another possibility, which is mentioned by Chizkuni and Malbim, which again assumes that they knew exactly what was going on, and everything was above board. So they say it's not actually a gift, it was a trade. And what was the trade? Let's see if we can figure out what they want.
Them leaving.
No. That was receiving what?
The property.
Yes. It was a trade for real estate.
Nice.
That the Egyptians were paying them off for their real estate.
Wait, but
which was...
Leaving, isn't it just abandoned? Why isn't it just like hefty?
Fine, but meaning it was an exchange. Like, there was some notion of fairness, right? That they left because they said, look, and they were leaving, they said, you're giving up your property, so let's pay you... Well, in Goshen, they clearly own land.
Yeah, I guess.
In Goshen, they clearly own, whether they did anywhere else, I don't know. Right?
They owned, like,
another possibility is that, and this Allah Torah developed this one nicely, is that they were doing this to sponsor this religious festival. Right? Because if they believed that God was punishing them because they weren't letting them go, right? Even if they... Again, they might have thought they were borrowing, but you could also develop the possibility that they understood that they were going to serve God, whatever that meant, and take it and serve your God so that he doesn't punish us.
Right.
And I don't really care about the details. I don't care if you're going for 3 days. I don't care if you're going forever. Whatever God wants, take it and just go. So these are all variations on the theme that the Jews knew they were going forever, the Egyptians knew they were going forever, and therefore you just have to reinterpret Vayishilum as actually a present or a sale or something like that, and it's all above board. We'll do over the next few days, again, how many days it takes us, because there's so many questions, is some of the other variations, which is not everybody knew what was going on, and therefore this was not completely above board, but it's not clear who was lying. Okay, so we'll do that tomorrow.